Hello, hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of, I actually don't know what I'm calling this. I mean, this is just, this is a new kind of a journal diary that I'm doing. I want it to be more clear to listeners as well as to myself and look back and see my own personal journey from being a Christian extraordinaire to an atheist. Not terribly extraordinaire. How does that happen? I mean, what are the elements that go into that? I mean, it's really hard to tell. And so I just want to kind of unwind my story. This is not necessarily looking at news of the day or news items, although I might bring some of that up in these very short and sporadic episodes. But I just wanted to, you know, dive a little bit deeper into my own psyche so that I can examine it better. And just understand all of this is after the fact. But even I wonder sometimes why I care so much about certain things. And so I try to unwind and look back and be a little bit introspective. And that's what this series is all about. So that said, I think I want to call this particular journal entry The Invisible Church. One of the things that I was pretty well aware of when I was a Christian, I started becoming aware of it. I don't know exactly when, probably in my teens, middle teens, somewhere in there. I recognized that there was no difference in the actual behavior and thought process or moral calculation of Christians as opposed to non-Christians. And obviously, I was looking at other people in other denominations, just kind of poking a finger, poking fun at them. Look at those people, hypocrites. And, you know, later, probably around my middle teens, late teens, I started taking a closer look at my own denomination and realizing, you know, wait a minute. Hang on. We're not different. I mean, not only were we not different from other denominations, and we were supposed to be, we thought we were. We weren't different from non-Christians. We weren't different from anybody in any discernible way. I was thinking about that as I was looking around at work. I'm at work right now on a break, as where a lot of these will be recorded. I'm looking around at work and I'm thinking to myself, these people are so Christian. They just as well have a chapel in this place. Everybody's talking about Jesus, talking about that sermon on Sunday morning, talking all of this crap and nonsense. But I see how they work. I see how they work. I run a very small section of the place where I work, and they're terrible workers. Most of them are just terrible workers. They put in minimum effort, and they just don't give a damn. I do the job better by myself than when I have to endure the help of others around here, with the exception of very few. That's just one aspect, though. You know, they're terrible workers. They have all of the same kind of angst as anyone else out there. None of them seem to have any what you would discern or call inner peace. They have the same attitudes toward money. If anything, they're greedier and they're, I don't know, more worldly than most atheists I know. And I'm thinking, wow, this is the church? And I thought about that term, the invisible church, you know, versus the visible church. And the visible church, you know, that's the church that you can see, you know, the buildings, the elders, you know, the pedophile preachers. That's the visible church. The invisible church are those who are a part of the kingdom of God, but, you know, maybe not easily identified by a church or a label. They're God's kingdom throughout the world. the invisible church. But it strikes me that if you cannot actually look at a person and see that they are different, something's different about this person, something special about them. I'm here, I'm with them, around them every day for 8+ hours a day. I know them pretty well. And there's no different. You can say they're the church, but it is the invisible church. Indeed, it is the church that simply cannot be seen. Okay, I'm back home, and I just wanted to conclude the thought that I was working with at work, talking about the invisible church, and it struck me on the way home that the church is not the only invisible thing. And I believe if when I was a Christian, you know, when I started having these thoughts about, you know, this church that I cannot see any evidence of, this kingdom that I could not see any evidence of, if it had stopped there, maybe things wouldn't have spiraled as they did. But it's not just that. For Christians, it's all invisible. So the other thing that's invisible is the Bible. It's an invisible everything. The Word of God is the invisible Bible. So work with me, because I haven't actually heard anyone make this connection, and so it might be crazy. You can go ahead and shoot me an email, skepticsandseekers@gmail.com, or you can just drop a post anywhere on skepticsandseekers.squarespace.com. I'll see it. So just bear with me as I try to make this connection. I'll be brief. So the visible Bible, well, that's the part that you can see. You know, that's the piece of leather with the paper and the words. You know, that's the visible Bible. It starts with Genesis and ends with the end of Revelation. You know, that's the visible Bible. But, you know, as you go along and you start finding problems with the Bible and you start hearing people say things like, well, yeah, there may be some problems with the transmission of the Bible. Well, you know what? The transmission of the Bible is the Bible. And that's the only Bible I knew about. So if you have a problem with the transmission of the Bible, you have a problem with the Bible. You know, what about this ending of Mark that I'm learning that scholars have known for a long time was fraudulent? You know, no one ever taught me that in Sunday school. But, you know, there it is. And so people would then say, yeah, well, you know, it's been that way for a long time. Maybe it wasn't a part of the original text. But you see, at least we know that. Now, they say that, and they still continue to quote it as if it were a part of the original text. There are no Bibles that I know of, or at least none that I have, that omit that text. It's always there, even if it's, you know, put in, you know, brackets. But, you know, that's just a part of the visible Bible, you know, the invisible Word of God. You know, maybe it doesn't include that, or maybe it includes some truths from that the Holy Spirit, you know, has managed to give you. What about the story of the woman caught in adultery? You know, wow, did you know that was fraudulent? Yeah, okay. But that's not a problem with God's Word. That's just the visible Bible, you see. And if a person is very progressive, you know, and you start talking about the atrocities, the outright atrocities that paint the God of the Bible as an outright monster, just a monster, you know, they might say, well, you know, that's not really God's Word, though. That was just some person's idea of what God was, and that got put in the Bible. That's not the real Word of God, though. You know, that's a part of the visible Bible. But the invisible Word of God is that which is infallible. It is that which is absolutely reliable, without errors in any way. But these are the spiritual truths of the Bible, you know, the spiritual truths that you can only discern if you're a spiritual person. That's the real Bible. That's the real Word of God. That's the invisible Bible.
that you just have to be attuned to, at one with, at spirit with. I think that was a bridge too far for me. So let me get this straight. You've got a church that's not really a church that you can't see, a kingdom that you really can't see, with a spirit that you can't see, providing fruits of his presence in people that you can't see, and then you've got the Word of God. The Word of God, which you can't see, because the true Word of God, that's the invisible Word of God that you take and hide in your heart like a treasure in the field. And I think that was one too many invisible things to me. Now, even though I didn't put it in those terms at the time, I know now, I believe now, that's what I was feeling. And it took me a while before I really understood the dissonance that I was feeling. That this church, this thing, this kingdom, this book that I had devoted my life to, none of it was real, at least in a visible sense. The realest of all of that stuff was just a little bit too invisible, too translucent for me, and thus began the feeling of my own spirit fading to black.